On ABC Radio Canberra, this is Laura Chilingirian. Drive.
A team of commandos with Arnie at the helm are sent to the Central American jungle to battle an unknown extraterrestrial warrior. That's the plot of Predator.
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, Jen.
Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother of God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Nice 80s trailer there, and love the voiceover. I don't have time for blood. Well, with the new Predator due out in cinemas soon on Sci-Fi versus Reality Today, I thought let's take a look back at the 1987 Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, described on IMDb as a science fiction horror action film. And everything else. And your astrophysicist, Dr. Brad Tucker, is the laughter you're hearing. Hello there.
How's it going?
I'm well. Now, look, before we get into the science, how about the politics of Predator?
Yeah, so I just like this factoid. So now, most people know that Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor of California, the governator, as he was illustriously known. And in fact, tidbit, because I'm from Sacramento, where the capital is, Arnold still likes to smoke cigars. And in California, even back at the time, there was a rule where you couldn't smoke within so close of like a public building. He literally had a tent built outside at the exact distance away from the door so he could smoke cigars at work. Kid you not. Now, three of the other cast members, so there's four main cast members.
Yeah.
Let's ignore the Predator. Now, I think some people are aware that Jesse Ventura, one of the other characters in here,
I remember
was
him.
Also a governor. Around the same time. So he was governor of Minnesota around the 2000s. He ran as essentially an independent. He did one term and dabbled in that. The other character, so one of the other actors, Sonny, or Billy in the movie, he also ran for governor around the same time. So you could have potentially had three of the four main characters governors of states of the U.S. at the exact same time. So Sonny ran in Kentucky.
Okay.
So it's kind of random that this movie had...
So we almost could have called this segment science fiction versus politics.
Yeah, exactly. And if only the Predator ran, that would have been the real icing on the cake. I don't know. Maybe Alaska or something like that were... rough terrain anyways, I don't know.
Now, the movie follows the theory that aliens coming to Earth would be hostile, hunting humans.
Yeah, so it's this interesting thing, and we've talked about it. Every time aliens come to the Earth, they
Except
are hostile.
Except for Arrival.
Except for Arrival. Mm. But even in Arrival, they naturally assume they're hostile, right?
Yes.
So, like, there's always this element that there's, like, the perception that when they come here, they're hostile, or they could be. When we go to their planet, they're fine and not hostile. It's just really, but it's a really good, you know, it's just a play on, I think, how we perceive what humanity does through other cultures. And in fact, the entire story of Predator is pretty much an alien version of the Most Dangerous Game. So it's an early novel about 100 years ago where a private wealthy man sets up an island to hunt humans for sport because he's tired of hunting normal game and he wants a challenge. So he brings people to this island and hunts them, which is interesting in its own right. But this is pretty much that movie, right?
Yeah, the Predator picks them down one by one.
Exactly. Yeah. And you realize the backstory says that they've kind of come here, it looks like, to train to do it. So it's an interesting way that the movie unfolds, I think. What I guess I have a problem, you know, ignoring the issue of what you think about aliens being hostile or not. If you're going somewhere to train, and practice your skills as a touch, you wouldn't travel all the way to Earth. Like, it's just not economical.
Mm.
So, okay, let's say, okay, maybe there's a...
If you exist, of course.
If you exist. And assuming you're not in our solar system, which yep. I would say that no one would assume the Predator would have come from a nearby planet, that means that the closest planet you could be is from around Alpha Centauri, which is the star near the Southern Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 light years away. So even if you can travel at the speed of light, it would still take you 8 years to come here and back just to do this training exercise. So it doesn't seem very efficient. Right? Like, I mean...
You have thought through this.
I have. Like, yeah. It's just one of those things. Like, I can understand this, but surely the Predator government would say that this is not a good use of Predator taxpayer money. Like, I just feel that it would be blasted for being overspend, and I'm sure the Predator Prime Minister would have been thrown out for spending too much money on sending his army 4 light years away at minimum.
You've created an incredible alien nation there.
It is. Well, he has to come. Predators are people too.
Well, are they?
Something.
An alien, the aliens hunt using this night vision technology.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting considering we use night vision.
We do. And technology. So, look, I mean, you kind of understand what the play is. So night vision is using a color of the spectrum called infrared. So, you know, we see optical colors. Infrared night vision is used in security cameras, hunting cameras. It's used in cricket vision and police cameras. So the interesting thing about it is that infrared allows you to see things that you can't see with your eyes. And it ultimately allows you to see more heat signatures. And that's always the play with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have a problem. And you would think that if you're an advanced civilization, you would use different colors. But why? So they put on the helmet, and that's the helmet allows them to see infrared. And assumingly, it looks like their eyes, when they have their helmet off and you have the little weird mouth of the Predator, you can see like normal colors with us.
Yeah.
If you're that advanced, why would you put on a helmet that allows you to block an entirely different part of the color? Like, you'd want to see both. Because some things are almost invisible in infrared, and some things are not, and vice versa with optical. So you'd assume you want to maximize your capability. And also, if you're going to go down this route, X-ray's way better. Right?
Right.
Like, if you think about it, if you had X-ray vision, and there's no reason, like, it sounds sci-fi, but there's no reason you couldn't. We have X-ray cameras, we have X-ray equipment. You would be able to see density structure everywhere. So you'd want to use both at the same time. I also think it just shows its age.
Yeah, like, of course. It's 1987, the movie.
It was 1987, but it's interesting because, you know, a lot of sci-fi movies we talked about have taken big leaps in technology. Here, they just use the capability of night vision at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our infrared technology right now that we use in science and on satellites is as good as what we can see with the colors of eyes. And in some cases, it's even better. I mean, we can resolve moisture content in crops and irrigation for bushfire monitoring from a satellite 400 kilometers above the Earth with better resolution than we can in the optical. So it's kind of like one of those things where, yeah, you understand what they did it, and it wasn't like a sci-fi movie, but unlike other movies which took leaps, it kind of didn't.
Got a few texts here. I'm speaking with ANU astrophysicist.
Is this about the Predator Nation?
No, actually. They haven't called you out on that.
Okay.
Dr. Brad Tucker is with me here on Sci-Fi versus Reality on ABC Radio Canberra. One text saying, woohoo, bring on Arnie. Ralph makes a very good point, which I completely forgot about. Yes, E.T. was so hostile.
So that's a
forgot
good
about that.
It is. So you're right. So E.T. is a very different one where E.T. is not hostile. But if you look at the way E.T. is portrayed, he's not a smart alien.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
He's more portrayed as a lost child trying to find his way home. He doesn't understand the world around him. He doesn't know how to get home. He needs help. So he's very diminutive almost. So E.T. I think is a completely different alien than everything else, but he's not smart.
Okay, that's I hadn't thought of it that way. But we do react to him the same way.
Originally, but humans still react a little bit scared and hostile.
Yes.
And that he has to be threatening.
Now, Ron from Bungendore says, what if their spacecraft was the size of a small planet and that's where they lived? Can you have a government running the...
So you could. So you could. And again, I think Independence Day touches on this, right? A civilization kind of moves and hops here, and you just do exercises for that. That's still then inefficient unless the entire group is going to start invading, mm-hmm. right? So, like, okay, if you're a nation, a predator nation on a spaceship, and you just happen to be like, all right, well, we kind of need some exercise. We're going to go to Earth and have a few people hunt. Like, I guess maybe... It still seems inefficient.
Like, I love how we're talking hypotheticals here.
Hypothetical, you know, aliens would have civilization governments too.
We're going to be excited if we find, you know, organisms on Mars, but I don't know about alien nations landing here and attacking us.
Hopefully not.
Could mud make you invisible in the infrared? Jason says, but doctor, if the predator had X-ray, Arnie couldn't have worn mud and won the fight.
Right. So firstly, Arnie, okay, so now... This is an interesting thing, right? Obviously, he can't win because you can't hide X-rays, but you can. There's a way to block X-rays. So mud, the idea is that the mud covers him and the mud kind of absorbs his heat so your infrared colors don't escape and then you don't see you in infrared in this thermal imaging. Mm-hmm. Again, which goes back to my point of the flaw, right? Like, if you covered yourself in mud, like, yes, I wouldn't see you in infrared. I would just look with my eyes and be like, oh, there's a giant Austrian in mud. But the problem with the mud issue is that the mud would warm up, right? Like, if you think about it, if you've put ice packs on mm-hmm. your body, the ice eventually heats up because it comes into equilibrium with your body and the temperature. So the mud would heat up and then you would just glow. And you can never fully block yourself. There's just no way of doing it. Except if Arnie was a scientist, he would know that glass blocks infrared light. So usually the wavelengths cannot get through glass. Okay. Which is why if you actually have an infrared camera and like wear glasses, your eyes will look black because you cannot be seen through these colors. So it's kind of an interesting thing. A side note, one of the researchers at physics actually created a special type of glass that now can convert things in the infrared and you can see through glass in the infrared. So it's kind of like being able to have a car and at night the car glass could flip to essentially night vision and you could see it like that. It's a really cool breakthrough that would actually really help with like autonomous vehicles because they could drive at night.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up there, unfortunately. Obviously, I did want to touch on the fact that the Predator's blood is green, and that's just...
I don't know, I guess.
Artistic license,
Predator
right?
Nation bleeds green.
That's
it. They're Raiders fans.
That's it. Must be.
Predators are Raiders fans.
Brad Tucker, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Talking Predator sci-fi versus reality there with ANU astrophysicist Dr. Brad Tucker. Shane Black, of course, who stars in... The 1987 Predator is the director and writer of The New Predator, which is coming out at cinemas soon. Thanks very much for taking part in that conversation. It was a lot of fun.